better never rests.
Beauty colors in the sky. What a thrilling time to be alive.
Greetings. It's the Georgia Show here on the Dogs HQ YouTube channel. Appreciate you tuning in here on your Monday night. It is that time once again. Jake Rowe over there got a collared shirt on for some reason. Don't know what that's about. Did you hit the links today?
No. Oh. No, just you know, wearing one around the house, brother.
Hey, he's all business all the
this
time.
This old thing?
He's all business all the time. Guys, look, if you're looking to take care of your small business and do some business for yourself, get over with American Pride Bank, a great friend, great sponsor of the podcast, and they are a tremendous company where you're working with decision makers all along the way. They're local in the community, Athens, Alpharetta, online at AmericanPride.bank. You can check them out there as well. All your banking needs in one place. American Pride Bank, the way to go. They are an equal opportunity lender and member FDIC. It's the Georgia Show and Jake Rowe. It is an interesting time. We haven't come on since Georgia lost out on Mark Bowman, which we should probably address at some point. It's official visit season. I guess we can kind of roll all that into one thing because Mark Bowman was supposed to take an official visit. That probably won't happen now because my man got paid.
He's Southern California pride, I hear. It's just all pride. It's a big reason for his decision to stay in Southern Cal.
I'm with it. I think that that's probably what it boiled down to in the end. Look, hey, I'm not even mad at Mark Bowman. Good for Mark Bowman, man. Numbers out there, 8 to 10 million for him over the course of 4 years. And that's a lot of cheddar, man. And look, I know nobody's happy to lose out on a guy like that. It stings. It sucks. But kind of is what it is, man. USC got him in the door and said, look, you're not taking another visit. We need you here, and we need you now.
Yeah. Listen, you and I have talked about this, and we've gone kind of round and round on it. The caption here, the banner here is not going to match up with what we're talking about. I guess this is part of it. But the desperate's dangerous, you know, the trying to climb back into relevancy. The Miamis and USCs of the world is the ones that have tasted dynasties, right? That they had them going. They're trying to be relevant again. And it's very, very dangerous when those schools are doing it. Cause they can muster up enough cash to make some things happen. And you know, listen, I don't know where legislation is going to take this. I don't know if these deals are even going to be able to stand up. What I do know is, I don't believe in the way they're doing it. And it's not that I have a problem with players making money. I just don't think it's going to work. I don't think when you tie that much money up into a kid and you know, you're scared to let him practice and you're scared to let him, you know, do the things that he's going to need to do to get better because you've got so much tied up in him. I just think you're doing him a little bit of a disservice and he's doing, you know, in his own way is doing himself a little bit of disservice. Now, ultimately put $8-10 million in your pocket. That's never a bad idea. It's never a bad idea unless you found some of the cartel's cash and there's a tracking device in it. Then it is a very bad idea, like the movie No Country for Old Men. Don't take that those millions of dollars, okay? But if somebody's willing to give it to you, they know that you got it, and they're not going to hunt you down like a dog and shoot you, then take the millions every single time. And I think he did a good thing by doing that. But I've got my questions on how this is all going to work out. It hasn't. Like just paying for things hand over fist and going all in and being desperate like this hasn't worked yet. It just hasn't. Now, Ohio State went and got some proven dudes in the transfer portal and kept a lot of their guys at home. And Jeremiah Smith was one thing. I still don't think they paid the most for Jeremiah Smith. You're telling me that the Miami didn't try to outbid him? I'm sure they did. But, you know, they went out and got proven guys. That's one thing. And they kept their own guys. That's another thing. This is different. What Miami's doing for Jackson Cantwell, what USC is doing for Mark Bowman, hey, have at it, guys. I don't think it's a good move. I don't think it's going to help you. I still think you're going to lose a lot of ball games.
Call it heads or tails.
Yeah, that's right.
DIG Primo checking in says, go dog. Shout out, my man. Oscar Galarza says, Go Dogs from Kansas. Shout out to him as well. Jamal Scott coming in with the Go Dogs as well. We are fighting each other for control.
We are. We are. I thought I'm producing the show, dang it.
No, I look, Jake, I want to use that as a perfect segue into the planned first segment, which is the official visit season is here, and Georgia hosted one of its top targets in the class. It was a top target with Mark Bowman or otherwise, and that's Caden Prothro, 6'6", 215, 220 pound. He's a slender dude now. This is a slender guy. One of the top playmakers in the state, in the country, at the tight end position, and just otherwise. He's a top 50 prospect about anywhere you look. So Caden Prothro makes his way to town this weekend, and much to Georgia's benefit, extends that visit one more day for camp day today. And so he gets to hang around and work with the staff in Athens, and made it clear that, you know, this is what they want. They want him. He's the guy, and that's where they're focusing their efforts. I think that that's a really smart play. To me, I'm interested to see what his long-term futures are in terms of the tight end position. Not because I don't think he can do it, but just because I think he could end up being kind of a Noah Thomas-esque X receiver, just a big body on the outside, could kind of be that guy. But Prothro, definitely a guy now, Jake, that has my attention in an even stronger way than he did prior to last week. You're on mute. You haven't done that in a while. I know it hurts your soul every time. You're embarrassed. You're hanging your head like a dog right now.
It does, man. It makes me feel so bad. I feel like I just stole the cartel's money and just got caught with it. God, I hate that so much. I'm sorry, people. Listen, I think Prothro reminds me a lot of Jimmy Graham. Okay. Like a, you know, not necessarily a true get in there and put your face on people a lot type guy, but somebody that's just freakishly hard to guard, can split out, can play a bunch of different places for you. I think he's a tight end, like in the truest sense of the word. I do think he's that, especially long term. I don't know if he's quite going to be or be able to get there at the college level, because I think it's going to take a while for him to get to 240, 250 pounds.
Sure.
But he's a special talent, man. And listen, would I take Mark Bowman over him, all things being equal and you know, money-wise and all that? Yeah, I would. I would take Mark Bowman over just about every pass catcher in the country in this class, just about every one of them, maybe all of them. But there's nothing you can do about that now. And as a guy I know has said, you know, worry is a wasted emotion. And you can't really – and regret is too. So, you know, just kind of get rid of those two things and you kind of move forward. And I think Georgia's in a good spot with Caden Prothro. And I think they're probably going to end up, you know, getting him in this class. And if they do, it's not a horrible consolation prize for Mark Bowman, because this guy's a five-star type of talent. He's elite. He's a big-time athlete. And, you know, I think Georgia would do well to get him. And it wouldn't surprise me if they made it happen maybe a little quicker than folks think.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. You've also got another couple of considerations out there. Matt Ludwig is a guy that's going to plan to visit later this month out of the Montana area. You've also got Braden Fogel, who's a guy that Georgia fans, I think, tend to overlook. And he's been quite interested kind of all along and set his official visit, gosh, back in November. And seems like a guy who's real high on Todd Hartley. So I don't really think the dream of three tight ends in this class is foregone. I think that you do still have a chance at that, assuming they want to spin the spots those way. I think Todd Hartley's going to get his. I'm not worried about that. Another one this weekend, though, Kamari Brooks out of North Oconee High School in Bogart.
He also plays tight end, I believe.
He could do it quite well, but yeah. I think that he's going to make some money disrupting backfields over the course of the long term. Kamari Brooks, one of these guys, Jake, that I'm following really closely. It's not giving me Christian Garrett vibes necessarily. Like there was, you know, he was on campus so much last year. He was there all the time. And then he ends up ultimately with Georgia Tech, I think, is where he ended up signing, if I'm not mistaken. Or he may have even – yeah, I mean, I know he committed to Tech. I can't – who knows? He committed to Tech when he was kind of thought to be trending with Georgia.
He decommitted from Georgia. He flipped. He was actually committed to Georgia and Christian.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. I'm sorry. That feels like it was 10 years ago, and it was.
It does. A lot happened since then, for sure.
Literally 1 year ago. But Kamari Brooks, I'm not saying he's giving me those vibes, but these guys who visit a lot and are close to home, I just tend to wonder, do you want to get outside and see something a little bit different? I don't think that's going to be the case, because I think Georgia recognizes how important this guy is. And really, at this point, he feels like maybe the guy on defense in this class for the Dogs.
Yeah, he does seem like kind of the main edge target. I get more Malachi Starks vibes from him, because you remember when Matt Godwin, you know, calling you by the name your mom gave you, Matt. I remember when Matt was telling us about Malachi Starks, and it was like, man, he was here all the time. And I was kind of like, it can't be this easy, can it? And I don't think it's going to be easy, but Kamari Brooks has been to Athens a lot. And I think, you know, Alabama's working really hard to get him in for a visit. But at the end of the day, maybe he does want out. I just don't really get that feeling just yet. And I think Brooks is, you know, I'll tell you, going into the state playoffs last year, I think I mentioned this on Dogs HQ Plus, going to state playoffs last year, I thought Kamari Brooks, whatever, you know, not really, I don't know, it wasn't too bent out of shape about him. And I saw him in that game. He just kind of made play after play. And I started, and that made me start watching him. I started watching him when he wasn't making plays. He was just snapping the tackle's head back and you know, just so physical. Like, man, this cat's a good player. And I think that would be a tremendous addition at edge, considering what Georgia signed last year. You go a 4-year stretch where you signed Isaiah Gibson. You signed Darren Ikenabon, Chase Linton, all three of those guys who have had really good things said about them already. And then you followed up with Kamari Brooks with next year's class with David Jacobs and LaDainian Guyton. If you can get those two guys to stay home, I mean, just Chidera is starting to reach, you know, Glenn Schumann territory if he's able to make that happen. So I certainly believe that you know, that Georgia's got some stuff going on there with Kamari Brooks and that defensive front. And obviously I got it, you know, right here too. I guess we should have put it in here earlier. Lawson Lucky just made his decision over the weekend as well on Saturday, committed to Georgia. And there's another 4-star prospect, another, you know, probably 5-tech defensive end / defensive tackle for Georgia to work with too.
Yeah, and I feel like that Carter Lucky gets overlooked a bit. And I don't necessarily understand why. I don't think that he should be. You go turn the tape on of this guy. I mean, he's making some moves back there. He's got a really buildable frame. And to me, the thing about him that really kind of strikes me, and it's underrated in this day and age, is that this guy clearly knows how the sausage is made at Georgia. He's a legacy guy. He plays on a team that plays great competition at Norcross.
He's probably seen his brother get straight up cussed out.
No question.
Yeah.
He knows everything about this. And yet he said, I would like the same path for myself. To me, that's an underrated aspect in this day and age.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's something that you're just not going to have to de-recruit that kid. Like he knows kind of what you've got going on. And that's it. A lot of times those guys end up getting off to quick starts, man. Like a lot of times those guys end up starting a little bit faster than the others. Cause they don't need their expectations changed. They're not going to get offended whenever you know, recruit them hard. You know, a guy like Carter Lucky, and then I had Lawson Lucky up here initially. What a smart guy I am. But a guy like him, he doesn't really need the coddling necessarily. And I don't think you're going to have to worry about him a whole lot. And, oh, well, you know, 6'6", 260-pound guys just don't grow on trees.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're the Michael Harris of banners tonight. You're doing – or of this show, really. You're batting about 230. Now, Carter Lucky, look, I was a little surprised and a little taken aback by the reaction from the fan base. Like there were people who were like, oh, I thought it was going to be somebody bigger. He's a 4-star guy. He's roughly a top 300 player, regardless of where you look. And like you said, he's a rare frame at a position where you can't really have enough people that are built like that. So count me as somebody who likes the pickup. I don't know why you wouldn't. Is it the sexiest pickup? Is it James Johnson necessarily? It's not, but he's still a great usable piece. And don't forget, he's part of a defensive line class also that currently has Seven Cloud committed, who is now represented by Drew Rosenhaus.
Seven Cloud is a real person, and we do know that's the big part of the battle right here. We also know what else is real.
What's real is the deal over at sunheights.com. You can get over there right now. You use code DOGSHQ20, 20% off your first purchase. They've got the free standard shipping on orders over $65, free returns. So look, they got all kinds of ways to hook you up. It's a great product at a great price. The Cypress, $45 over there.
There's probably some way you can customize them to make them $22.50.
Sure. But get over sunheist.com. Super lightweight. The polarization injected. It's not going to delaminate. You don't have to worry about that. They stand by the product. They stand by the frames. They are going to get these things to you in an absolute flash. They've got a ton of styles. They're adding more. There's nothing not to love. So sunheist.com, code DOGSHQ20, DAWGSHQ20. Get over, check out all the ways that you can customize them and make Sunheist yours today. Perfect for getting out there on a hike. Perfect for boat season, which is here and ready to be enjoyed. Those look like boat sunglasses right there. Those
they maples. Do. They do. I'm building them right now.
Off gray and the mirror icy blue. Those are definitely beachwear. So get over, find the style that works for you at sunheist.com and use our code DOGSHQ20 while you're there.
Three more official visit weekends. Can't wait. It's going to be a lot to follow.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Why did you say it like that? You're just throwing me off when you do things like that. This one is a particularly big one. They've got coming up this weekend. Savion Hyder expected to be in town, the nation's number one running back, number 11 player in the country. Chauncey Kinnon, a guy that we have heard a ton about when it comes to the cornerback spot in this class, when it comes to Georgia. Akine Agboko, I got corrected on that, and I'm working on the pronunciation there. Akine Agboko, the brother of Namdi, coming to visit. Also, P.J. Dean supposed to be in town this week. Ohio State feels like they've seized a lot of momentum. Can Georgia get back in for the brother of Jared Wilson, who's a hell of a defensive lineman in his own regard? Matt Ludwig, who I mentioned before, a commit for Michigan. Be interested to see if he follows up with that one. Kendall Gerville, a guy that I don't think we've talked a lot about in this class, but has had some really glowing things to say about Georgia. Braden Fogle, who we mentioned earlier. Xavion Griffin Haynes, a edge player, 6'6", 220, who's been to Georgia a lot. A lot of buzz going on around Brady Marchese. And he is a guy who Michigan is after real hard. Interested to see how that goes. Fletcher Turk coming back to campus this weekend as well, or coming to campus this weekend for his official visit. Georgia recently offered him. So interested to see how that goes. But another strong lineup for the Georgia Bulldogs in this upcoming week. And it doesn't stop the rest of this time, man. I mean, this is the month, and you got to make your hay. You know, they're going to we've seen a flurry of offers already go out from the camps. 2027 guys picking up offers left and right from Georgia. That will continue. 2026 guys, I think, who get a second look, get back in town and get their chance to be offered, will start to pop up as well. It's just a busy time, Jake, and they have a lot of meat on the bone still to go. I think Georgia's off to a good start when it comes to this class. I believe 11 commits in at this point, but I think that it's very possible that by the end of the summer, they're well over the 20 mark.
Let me ask you a question. Where do you think Kendall Gerville is ranked by the On3 industry ranking? Because this surprised me.
I want to say around 150.
132 overall in the country. That is a lot higher than I thought. You look, On3's got him at 117. 24/7 has him at number 78. His ranking's about to go up when Rivals and On3 get combined, because it'll just stay at 117 and there won't be another one pulling him down. But incredible. I really didn't understand how highly ranked he was and how big of a target he must be for this class at 6'4", 315 pounds. This weekend is a lot bigger than I thought. I thought this one might be kind of the slow one because we know the 13th and the 20th are massive. I thought this one might be a little bit slower than I started looking at. And if you want to look up Rooster's thing, it's available on our website for everybody to see. Rusty will kind of have more of an official list over the site here in the next couple of days and maybe some names you don't know already because he's good at figuring that kind of stuff out. But this is a massive weekend. You know, when Hyder, I think some people maybe consider that a long shot, but you get P.J. Dean and Igboko in town, a couple guys with brothers that played at Georgia or currently play at Georgia. You know, you can't have enough of those big bodies up front. And I think Georgia's probably going to really want to make it happen for those guys. And listen, there's some talk out there about Georgia and the top 100, and maybe there's just – I don't see it, guys. Like, I don't see the problem. Like, I see plenty of opportunities out there for Georgia to close. If Georgia recruits like it normally has, then it'll be fine. I do think they'll end up making some noise for P.J. Dean and Akine Igboko. I think, you know, or Akine Igboko. I'm not wholly worried about that. And you know, it's wild. I thought this was kind of the calm weekend. And for a calm one, it sure is active.
I'll be honest with you. So Kendall Gerbel is a guy I've spoken to. I've had a chance to catch up with him before. I do not know that I realized that he was 315 pounds. Go look at a picture of Kendall Gerbel.
He might not be.
If he's carrying 300, he's carrying it well. I mean, yeah, that's a good looking dude. So, and he's had some great things to say. Georgia, Florida, and Texas, kind of the three that are fighting it out for Gerbel at this point. And gave some glowing remarks. I believe it was last fall when I had a chance to speak to him about Georgia and just how well they recruited him. So really interested to see how that one goes. Bobby Sagas over here says, Lucky moves well and tackles rough. He will not play soft. He knows what's going on. I mean, the guy ain't surprised. Kevin Jones ordered my glasses this past weekend. Can't wait to get them. Thanks for supporting Sun Heist. We appreciate that, Kevin. Yeah, I agree with you. This was kind of supposed to be the down weekend, and it's just certainly not going to be. I think that this one has a chance to be as big as the first one, which, by the way, we should mention. You mentioned guys with brothers at Georgia or who have played at Georgia. Thomas Davis Jr. on campus this past weekend, as was Kedrick Golston's son.
Their brothers didn't play at Georgia.
I understand their fathers played at Georgia. I thought that was cool to see. And it sounds like things going in the right direction for Georgia and Thomas Davis Jr. That would be so cool to see.
Yeah. I talked to TD at Caesars when Georgia was in New Orleans for the Sugar Bowl. And we talked about that, and he was very much hoping that TD Jr. was going to get that offer, and he did. So I'm not saying that Georgia's going to get him by any means, but Georgia's going to probably make a run. They're going to get him to listen, and that's kind of all you can ask for at this point.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, another big weekend coming up. Look, if you're looking to make a big move in your life, especially in the financial realm or in your business life, get over to MyPerfectFranchise.net. Andy Ludeke and the folks over there, their business is helping you. What they do, they set you up with your perfect franchise. The opportunities are pretty limitless. There's more than just McDonald's and Subways when it comes to franchises. There's a ton of businesses that they can hook you up with, and they are paid by the companies that they refer you to. So the services are 100% free to you. You can get to MyPerfectFranchise.net for more information and help them help you. That's the way that it goes with Andy Ludeke and the folks over there. So MyPerfectFranchise.net, put your life and career in your own hands with your perfect franchise. Story time. Oh, boy. I didn't realize we were doing this one.
Should we do this one right here? Should we wait until next week?
Well, let's work it in. We need to. I don't know. We need to do a Bark After Dark. We really
do. We do. We do. And this was I went to the wedding of a Bark After Dark alum, Redden Reception. I think he actually got married last weekend, but we celebrated it this weekend. Josh Pate celebrated his nuptials to the lovely Savannah, and very happy for them. It was a gorgeous wedding. It was awesome. But your boy got there, Jake Roos.
It was a bit formal, wasn't it?
That's what I hear. A
formal affair.
I showed up in a tan suit, no tie. I was going to look really good. I tried it on for my wife, and, you know, maybe the one out of every 10 years that she's like, oh, darling, you look good. You know, this looks great. And I'm excited. I'm ready to go, bring my suit. And all of a sudden, Cole Kubelik walks in with a tuxedo on. Right? And I start seeing another guy with a tuxedo on and another guy with a tuxedo on. And I'm like, oh, no, I am in trouble. Like, this is black tie. So what do? I go to Men's Warehouse and I buy a black suit, brother. I purchased a whole deal, shoes, belt, tie. I had the white shirt, thank goodness. I had that taken care of. Put the whole thing on, went to the wedding. Everything was great. You know what I did earlier today?
You took that suit back.
I took that suit back. I took it back. Let me tell you something. That 5-6 minutes from the White House Hotel in Biloxi down to the mall in Biloxi was a very nerve-wracking 6-7 minutes of my life. I come walking in there, and I was like, I need a suit right now off the rack. We got to make stuff happen. And the fine folks at Men's Warehouse in Biloxi, Mississippi, made it happen.
I was hanging out with my buddy Tim when that happened, and I told him what was going on. I explained it to him, and he said, God, 90 days feels like a long time to return a suit. He said, that feels like you could really rent a suit. You could buy a suit for the summer, go to all the summer weddings, and then just be August, take it back, man.
Yeah, be a little more careful with it than I was, though, because I did have to do some spot cleaning on it before I before I
took it back. Warned you about that.
You did.
No, it was probably one of my, you and I have shared some incredible phone calls over the years. That was one of the great ones. There's no question about it, because I said, when is this? When is the thing happening? That's in like 20 minutes. I just got back. I got to get this thing. I've got this on. I just got to get back. Let me ask you this. Did you recognize that did you just figure out that it was a black tie? Did you revisit the invitation, or did somebody say, hey man, it's black tie?
Well, so it was, I never got a chance to revisit the invitation until I got back home, and I saw that it was black tie optional, which does leave open the idea of being able to get like charcoal gray, navy blue, you know, whatever. Now I will say there were some people there, some prominent people there, some people that mean that they're very close to the inner circle there that were not in black. Okay. There was somebody, one dude that was there with a pair of khaki slacks and a navy blue blazer. And another guy was there in a light gray blazer. I would have still stuck out like a sore thumb. Okay. Like I would have been one of 5 or 6 guys that stood out like a sore thumb. But it started with seeing everybody in the tuxedo. And then I mentioned something to somebody that worked there, and they were like, Oh, and then they were like, well, I would at least get a black tie. And I said, okay, that's what I'll do. And so then we, you know, kind of revisit the whole thing. But I will say this. I texted the groom himself right before the wedding, just say, hey, you know, if you got any jitters, here's a good laugh. And he was like, and he was totally nonplussed. I mean, I wouldn't say nonplussed, but he was totally like non affected by it. You know, he was like, you're good, man. I don't think anybody cares. Yeah. So, but I cared, and I fit in, and I'm no lighter in the pocket for it. Thank goodness. Thank you, Men's Warehouse. You're awesome.
If you'd like to sponsor our show, you can. We can highly recommend your product and your service on both.
I really only want to help the one out in Biloxi, Mississippi, though. Those are some of the finest people I've ever worked with.
Yeah.
They 3 people worked there, and they all 3 scrambled on my behalf.
Oh, I bet.
And I very much appreciated it.
Jake, speaking of early exits, although I guess you made it back, Georgia baseball out of the College World Series, lose to Duke, lose to Oklahoma State in a walk-off, and that's all she wrote for the Dogs this season on the diamond, man. Wes Johnson's boys kind of sputter to the end here. What was expected to be a deeper run for them, certainly, ends unceremoniously and in a fashion you and I talked about earlier that probably upset a lot of people just because of the way that they sort of handled their business on the field. I'm not a big baseball traditionalist personally. I'm cool with all that stuff. I got no problem with that.
I'm not either. Like, I mean, I'm not a big traditionalist, but let's go bad, good, and ugly here. Let's switch it around a little bit. The bad, Georgia lost 3 out of 4 postseason games. That sucks. Okay, sucks for a team that won 42 games in the regular season. Sucks for a team that played 3 of those 4 postseason games at home. Georgia was not the home juggernaut in the postseason that it was in the regular season, and that's why it's going to Galveston now. It's going to get the, as Charles Barkley would say, the boys get to go to Galveston. The good, 42 wins in a regular season, man. You haven't done that in a very long time. It was against a very difficult schedule. This is a very good program. Wes Johnson's a very good coach. He's got Georgia trending in the right direction. I think they're going to come right back. The ugly, man, don't flip your bat at the other team's dugout. And if you do, you better go win, okay? Like, don't do dances on third base after a triple. If you're going to do that, you better win. So I just thought that Georgia played poorly in its last two games of the season. It didn't really handle itself or carry itself like you would expect or like you would want your team to. And here we are, you know, and you know, sitting here with a team that kind of, you know, is on social media for the wrong reasons now and is also seeing its seasons over. They got plenty of time to watch it. And that's just never where you want to be.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, look, it's not the way that anybody would have wanted this thing to end. There's a lot of positive momentum for them. I think ultimately it's moving in the direction that they would hope for it to be. But I mean, look, let's call it what it is. It sucks, man. I mean, this is not how anybody thought that this thing was going to go ultimately. And, you know, I think that, there's probably some hurt feelings out there, especially with coming off of, yeah, I love that from Andy over there. Sweat Saints dudes now 70% off. You know, coming off of the extension, right, and the whole deal, I think he deserved it certainly, but it's just tough, man. I think that it's certainly not the way that they wanted it to go. The important question, though, is can they come back and do this thing again moving forward? Do they have the positive momentum, and can they keep that rolling?
Yeah, they just got to win in the portal again. They've got to get players in the portal. That's really what it comes down to. Wes is big on that. And you know, that's what he kind of hangs his hat on, is being really good at getting players in the portal, getting power hitters and experienced guys in the portal. Pitching's got to get better. Pitching's got to get better, I think, if this team's going to make a big run, a deep run into the NCAA tournament, to the College World Series. And they've got to get better in that regard.
Yeah, no question about it. Guys, look, we'll be back later this week with another edition of the Georgia Show presented by American Pride Bank, previewing this big official visit weekend. Dogs HQ Plus on tap this week.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. Look, stay tuned. There's a lot to get to this week. You never know what can happen after these official visit weekends. That's for sure. So be locked in over at the Dog Walk at Dogs HQ. We'll see you later this week. Thanks for tuning in.